So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review,
right now, right? That's what you say. We get it by now.
Okay, hey. Yeah, let's do the I actually have to get going in like an hour.
Sorry, man.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. Well, I think we'll be done in an hour.
So you're telling me we've got a bomb strapped to a kid somewhere in the city that only an unidentified dead man knows the location of. That's awesome.
6 hours and 42 minutes to find him.
Where are you going?
I reinstated?
No.
Under arrest?
No.
Then that's my own fucking business.
Everybody out!
Everybody out!
Go! Go! Clear! Clear!
Move! Now! Move! Move! Get out!
Go!
Move! Move!
Go! Come on! Come on!
Go! Get out of the way! Get out of the building! Clear the building!
Move! Move! Everybody out! Evacuate the building! Evacuate the building!
Come on, people out! Let's go! Let's go! Come on! Move!
Please evacuate the building and meet in your designated assembly areas.
Go! I need you out of the building now!
This will be fine, buddy.
Guys,
out of here! Everyone out of the building! Everybody out!
You guys have to move! Beep!
Out of here! Everybody leave! Out! Everybody leave!
Over here, gently, gently.
Nice here. And easy. Nice and easy.
When you hit him with the nitrogen, it'll freeze the trigger switch, then you'll have about...
I know. I got it. You guys gotta go now. Go. Leave. Now. Go.
I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes. 4 minutes, eh? I'm out of time and all I got is 4 minutes.
Here, girl. Come on. Yeah.
Welcome to Review Away. It's John Pollock along with Akira Taue, and today we are chatting Countdown. And Wei, I know no one can see you, but you're providing a very red vibe with your hat and shirt combination.
That's right. I got a red hat and a red shirt.
Do you know, I thought of you a few weeks ago when John Cena was interviewed about...
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I know.
This is not good.
No, he was talking about... something about his role at WrestleMania, and he went back to 2003 where he was scheduled to do that big wrap off. You remember first with Jay-Z was being talked about, and then Fabulous.
Yep.
And it ended up being a cardboard cutout that he rapped against. And he said, man, my first WrestleMania, I went out there at Safeco Field and all I was wearing was a jersey and a Mitchell and Ness sports hat.
Oh, he said that?
He said that.
Cool.
The exact name. Which is now the Wei Ting sponsor.
I look like John Cena.
Kind of. If you and me came together, your hat and my generic look, and we added some muscles, we would have John Cena.
Well, there's an insult if I've ever heard one.
Well, I'm just saying. That was more a diss on me than you, but you take it however you must.
Well, you're very blue today.
I'm all blue. Yeah.
Yeah, you got...
I don't represent anybody.
You got a blue...
Plain.
You got a blue shirt and blue jeans.
I'm generic and plain, like Prince George.
If a wrestler came out dressed as either one of us, who do you think would get the better reaction?
You would, for sure.
Red hat, red shirt. Versus
you would
shirt,
have that
jeans?
Asian charisma.
What? Excuse me?
You would have
Asian charisma. I know that sounds like a compliment, but come on.
Well,
what is that supposed to mean?
No offense, but you would stand out amongst people. That would be something that would differentiate you from the vast majority of the WWE roster. Tell me the Asian representation on Raw.
Right now, I don't think there is.
So there you go. There's already something unique about you.
Well, I mean, Yoshi...
Whereas me...
Hold on a second, though. How much did Yoshitatsu stand out? How much did Taka Michinoku stand out? How great did it work out for those guys?
Enough that you're reciting them. Because you can pick them out.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I have a lot to live up to.
I'm also picturing you doing, like, Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance to the ring, and maybe that's where the charisma is right. Bleeding over.
No, I would come out looking like John Cena, I think.
You kind of have
the Asian John Cena.
Yeah.
Jin Cena.
Jin Cena.
Yeah.
That'd be great. You know where I went for lunch today?
Tim Hortons.
Nope. The Mandarin.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
It was great.
The finest Asian cuisine.
Do you not like Mandarin?
I like it.
You told me you would go with your parents, wouldn't you? Sometimes?
No.
No? Never?
No.
Okay. I just made that up.
I mean, it's good buffet. It's a fine buffet.
I can full so easy now. When I was a kid, I would go there and just eat like a goddamn animal.
Now you get full really fast?
Two plates done, tapped out.
Wow.
I have a fear of overeating.
Why? I think you need to eat more.
Well, maybe.
I sound like
many people. YouTube commenter. Yes, you do. Us malnourished folks.
There's somebody on one of our Ask Away videos last week. We were talking about how somebody asked us what Toronto was like, and then I think I had said, "Oh, Toronto's great. It's got great food. The food in Toronto's, I love it." And then one of the commenters, this asshole, who's just, if he's hearing this, probably just getting off right now, just jizzing himself, hearing me talk about him. In the comments he wrote, quote, says, "I love food in Toronto. Looks like a skeleton."
Whoa. Looks like a skeleton.
You said something to that effect.
God, I don't think you look like a skeleton. Do I look like a skeleton?
I think we both, we can, you know. But I blame society for that.
See, we are in we provide a service where it's such a fine line, because we would be easy targets if we were fat and out of shape. Sure. And that would be a look at these out of shape assholes talking about wrestling. But
we fit the other,
if we're not
the other end of the stereotype, which is skinny and out of shape.
I don't feel that skinny, to be honest. I feel like I'm I don't know what.
Hey, man, if you were on WWE TV and Vince McMahon took a look at you.
I don't feel that most of the population out there, that would be your comparison point to your doctor for your annual checkup, bringing up a shot of God knows who on WWE programming and comparing.
This is a good topic to talk about, especially in relation to this
body shaming
review coming up.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying. Who on the WWE roster would you say is the most average looking in terms of physique? Who's got kind of the more person that you would typically see on the street?
Well, I would say two guys that I think their looks are very deceptive to their abilities and their conditioning would be Bray Wyatt and Kevin Owens. Two pushed guys. Their looks have not been a deterrent to me at all in terms of how they've been presented on television.
True. Yep, I like that.
Whereas a decade ago, that might be very different.
Yeah, they do look strong and powerful, though. But what about...
how many times have we gone to a wrestling show or a WrestleMania and you've asked if someone was dressed up as Bray Wyatt, and we're not exactly sure if they are paying tribute or this was just their Saturday attire?
WrestleMania 30, it felt like there was a Bray Wyatt in every
convention
section, yeah. But we were also in New Orleans, so it could just be how they were dressed.
Nolens.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, what really stood out to me about watching this movie, Countdown, starring Dolph Ziggler, was just how much somebody like a Dolph Ziggler, who obviously has a great physique, but on the roster, he doesn't necessarily, you know, look like somebody who's that much bigger. He looks like an average-sized guy on the roster. That's exactly what I mean. You see Dolph Ziggler in this movie compared to your typical human beings, and he is massive. He might as well look like Brock Lesnar standing next to a typical actor.
I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, he... Should I answer this?
Sure.
I don't know who's calling. So we're back.
What happened? Who was that?
No, some Conor McGregor stuff going on. That was not Conor, though.
Okay. Yes. Interesting. What do you think of the news?
You know, I wrote it about it in the update, so.
No, I see.
That's that.
All right.
Sorry. This show is now called Countdown because someone has somewhere to be. Is a bomb going off in an hour away? How much time do we have?
There's a child I need to save.
Yes. Okay, well, Waze Anatoly cannot wait.
My parking's about to run out.
Oh, is that what you're in a hurry for?
Out in an hour.
Oh, Jesus. So
the countdown is on for us to finish this review.
Imagine that, like, if you're... How people would be so concerned if, like, their parking ran out and, like, their car blew up or something.
That would be one way to police parking.
There would be no more late parking slips.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be no need for tickets.
Yeah. How about instead of little parking stubs, they actually strap bombs to your chest so that if you don't go back to your car in a certain time, you will die.
I mean, if you want harsh penalties, I mean, that's how you change people's attitudes towards
all
things.
These people stealing parking. We can't have that.
Countdown, the latest movie from WWE Studios and Lionsgate, originally entitled 642, which I guess they had a large focus group and they probably felt that title would be too confusing. What's this about? Yeah. We need simple countdown.
Yeah, imagine if we called our shows by the duration of the show every single week.
Oh, God.
This show would be called
132, maybe? I don't know. However long. Oh. Do you know Reviewer Raw? Whenever I post it, it typically always works out to be like an hour 23 within like a minute or two.
Yeah.
It's like almost like clockwork at the same time. And we never have any kind of format to plan it to time. It just works out that way. That is the amount of time you and I can spend on Raw, feedback, and chit-chat and Total Divas.
No, the only, what we do kind of format is the review itself.
Yeah, but that's not going to affect the overall time. I mean, yeah, like that gives us the body of the show.
The opening.
But to come down to the minute.
Yeah, the opening and closing banter is just always random. That's weird.
It's always within a few minutes of that. But anyway.
It's good production is what it is.
So I took notes away in my usual order. So I don't know how you want to talk about this.
We'll just kind of go through the generic structure of the movie.
Generic structure is a perfect description.
Okay. We're assuming that everybody's seen it. If not, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Oh, fuck off. You download a review podcast on a movie and you're going to complain? I will block your ass in a second.
People like to watch or people like to listen to often spoiler-free reviews.
Well, this is not a spoiler-free review. This is a review. That would be a preview.
Not necessarily. You read a review.
What is a spoiler-free review?
You read a review of a film in a newspaper, and often it doesn't give away the endings. It just talks about, you know, the reviewer's overall, perception.
But when does that come out? That comes out on the Friday to push people to go watch the movie at the theater. To me, it's pushing people.
They still build those.
It's not a reaction.
Yeah, they are. Mm.
It's their reaction, but it's for...
Whatever, I got a parking
ticket. Sorry, so sorry that life is getting in the way of our friendship.
Yeah.
So we had Dolph Ziggler. First of all, the reason we picked this was because I thought this was going to be a fun WWE camp movie. What a bullshit. I was such a sucker because this trailer was actually perfect to lure me in. Because the WWE scenes were such nothing.
They were basically what you saw in the commercial.
That was all. The super kick spot was the best scene of the movie, in my opinion, and was really nothing.
They tricked us. They baited.
They worked us.
And switched it on us. This is not a wrestling movie at all.
No, there was nothing wrestling in this other than it was a background scene.
I was very upset.
So, yes. Some of the music throughout this. Holy Christ, Way.
Why don't we
Don't Box Me In by Nikki Lindsey King was at the beginning.
Yeah. So tell us about the plot.
How can I put this together? We have Detective Ray Thompson, who is Dolph Ziggler. And Ziggler plays the rebel cop. He's just too out there for authority. And
he's a rebel cop who has suffered some unknown tragedy in his life that has caused him to turn this way. He's basically, you know, he kind of plays the Daredevil or like a more of a looser version of the Punisher, you know, he does kill people, so he is the Punisher.
Yes, we get introduced to Detective Ray Thompson during this sting operation at the beginning of the movie that they attempt on Nikolai.
Why couldn't they keep him as Dolph Ray Thompson? He goes from one of the most weirdest, but I guess, names that stand out in pro wrestling. Dolph Ziggler, to perhaps the most generic name you could come up with.
Ray Thompson is up there with the most emotional, neutral names you can possibly have. Mm-hmm. Ray Thompson is your name. Do you think you would have had a better run as Ray Thompson, the show-off?
You know, I doubt it, actually. I don't know. Dolph Ziggler might be better than that.
What would you rather have, a super generic name or a super shitty name? Because those are the two options of Ray Thompson and Dolph Ziggler.
I feel like maybe a generic name you could – it's more moldable. Dolph Ziggler, I think he's kind of grown into it. It's not that bad.
So during this opening sting operation, Ziggler – I will refer back and forth to Thompson and Ziggler in my notes.
Say Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. Detective Dolph is then what he is going to be for the purposes of this review. They're trying to take down this guy Nikolai. The two partners don't get along.
The villains, of course, are always – they have foreign. To be generic Russians.
Yes.
These
with names that end in vowels. And Nikolai is onto these two as cops, and Ziggler, to prove his authenticity as a legit arms dealer, or I guess an interested party in these arms, shoots his partner in the chest, and Nikolai immediately asks why he didn't shoot him in the head, pretty much telegraphing that he had a vest on way, as the sting operation would then be put into full throttle.
But I thought Dolph had or the writers gave Dolph a good line saying it would be too messy.
I'm not a soldier. So they perform the sting operation, and the partner emerges from the dead with his bulletproof vest, and he punches Dolph Ziggler for shooting him too close to the heart.
I like this opening scene. I thought it was actually written well with lots of twists.
Well, the partner says, "You've got a screw loose," as our identifying statement for the Ray Thompson character for the next 85 minutes of this movie.
So we're introduced to this guy, this cop, Dolph Ziggler, who's willing to take risks like shoot a partner in the chest.
He's wild. He's uncontrollable, but he does believe in justice.
Yeah.
But then Detective Dolph has to meet Supervisor Kane, Corporate Kane, over this shooting incident and the fact that he has gone through six partners. And Kane asks, "Why the hell are you still here?" And this brings in Special Lieutenant Baker, who we are then introduced.
Who's not a wrestler.
She is not a wrestler,
but a
very experienced actress. I mean, this woman was in the Ginger Snaps movies. She was also in an Academy Award-winning snub, this nomination. She was part of See No Evil 2.
Oh, my.
So, history with Glenn Jacobs and his acting prowess.
Cool. Whoa.
And she plays the badass Special Lieutenant who lives by the book and lives to throw it at Detective Ray Thompson. How will these two get along? Well, they're going to have to be put together on this mission.
Uh-huh.
The Odd Couple. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
Kane basically does play, you know, just the version of Corporate Kane here. And
this was his role, Corporate Kane.
Yeah, yeah.
Complete with hair.
And, you know, for a wrestler, I think definitely Kane is one of the better actors, whatever that means, on the WWE roster. He's probably the guy with some of the most acting experience amongst the whole crew. And here, though, I think it's easy for me to buy him as Jacob Goodnight, you know, as this monster.
That was the role he was born for.
It's a lot tougher for me to buy him as this police lieutenant, you know. All I just see is Kane. All I see is evil.
He could be in charge of the canine unit. He's really not in this movie a whole lot. Like, he has barely any screen time in this movie. Yeah. I mean, it's very minimal.
He's the
he hardly deserves a spot on the cover of this DVD.
Dude,
but
have you not seen The Wrong Side of Town starring Batista?
That's
who was
true.
In it for like 2 minutes?
That is true.
Yeah.
He has more screen time than him. So we're trying to figure out at the beginning what is up with Dolph Ziggler's child.
I can only imagine. What was his Mikey. Mikey.
So the plot is Dolph gets reprimanded for shooting his opponent in the chest. And Dolph is like – they want to suspend Dolph and then Dolph –
with pay. This was like WCW.
Right. And Dolph is just like, screw you. I quit. And so I think he quits. Does he quit or just hand in his gun?
Well, they demand him to turn in his gun.
Okay,
and badge.
Whatever. So he's
on suspension.
He's suspended. So Dolph goes over to his desk, and we see photos of him with his wife and son, and there are multiple photos, all from the same photo shoot. So maybe they're a family that doesn't take many photos. And then he goes back home
to read Harry Potter.
Yeah. So the wife comes in, and the wife is on the phone with somebody who sounds like would be her husband.
But it's another cop that she has left Detective Dolph for.
Yeah, we later learn that. And then we see Dolph.
Even though she still lives with Dolph.
Does she?
Well, she came home.
Maybe Dolph just broke in. Because we see Dolph in his child's room reading Harry Potter.
And crying.
But the child is not there.
No. At first I thought he was kidnapped, but we learned was not kidnapped.
The child is dead. Wow. Dolph's son is dead. And then the wife comes in. She's crying, says, you can't be doing this anymore. Let it go. Your son is dead.
Well, the room is still made up, so I think both of them are having issues of moving on. So the final package that Thompson received at his work had this IP address for a Moscow website, and they demand that Dolph come in, even under suspension, for their help, because this website is password protected. However will they figure out the password? Well, Dolph says, try Mikey. And guess what, Way? The password opened up the website. And they find a child strapped to a bomb, gagged. First, I thought this was Mikey. But no, it was Anatoly. Yeah, a new child, we have found out, who has been kidnapped. And the kidnapper has used a voice distortion using the Arnold Schwarzenegger filter and demanding a ransom of $2,112.35.
That's right.
For a stupid payoff.
In the delivery.
Literally and figuratively.
In the delivery, they want to be made at a WWE live event.
Well, of course. The best value in family entertainment. So that takes us to a WWE event and our excuse to get a bunch of cameos. And maybe the timing of this wasn't all that well, considering, remember back at the Survivor Series in Atlanta when they had that scare that a WWE event could be the threat of an attack? Mm-hmm. Well, here we had a bomb scare at a WWE event.
Yeah, but the bomb wasn't actually, yeah, it was.
Yes.
Wait, the bomb wasn't there. The bomb wasn't in the arena. The guy just had to make the phone call.
Well, he could have set the bomb off with the phone.
Yeah, but the bomb was in the arena.
Anyway, Corporate Kane is very concerned about this
drop-off.
This drop-off, because if there's a dead kid, the PR will be awful for the police headquarters. So he's got his priorities. Ziggler is sent out for this drop-off, and Ziggler is just casually picking up his ticket, and then he heads off to his seat, and he looks more disappointed as he's just sitting there watching the Ascension start this show. But then they've got to make a bag switch, Way. So he just casually walks up to the front row, leaves an unidentified bag just there, and walks off, and then a guy comes and grabs the bag.
What is the logic in doing an exchange in a full crowd, so that the criminals can get lost? Is that the idea?
I've never been part of a drop off.
Yeah.
So I would love to know the psychology of it. Maybe being in a public place, there would be less suspicious activity. You could make your way in and out maybe more seamlessly. You could hide a bag more.
But as the guy found out, this was like one of the worst places to do it.
Well,
they should have done it in some type of open area.
Well, the guy was on to the fact that there were cops on the premises, which he had instructed Ziggler not to bring. But this guy, one ahead of them, went to a washroom with a decoy bag, switching the contents from one to the other because the bag during the drop-off had a tracking device,
yeah,
which was now stuck in the washroom. So these cops, I mean, Jesus Christ, they're working overtime here on their surveillance.
Well, these cops are idiots. What did they think the guy was going to do?
They got absolutely fooled here. And then this dude just shoots a cop in the lobby area of this wrestling event.
Yeah.
Kills a cop. Rusev.
Well, so the guy leaves the bathroom. Dolph is chasing after him. This is when he kills the cop, but now Dolph is giving chase.
Yes, and that is where we get the scene involving Rusev, who disarms Ziggler, and then Ziggler disarms Rusev with a super kick as Lana looks on and actually gets in some lines.
Yeah, so Rusev, I think you're going a little too fast.
Okay, well, someone's in a hurry.
So Rusev stops Ziggler because he sees a guy running with a gun and doesn't know that Ziggler is a cop. So Rusev, just kind of doing his civilian duty, stops Ziggler, this guy running with a gun. And Rusev, very impressively, just handles the gun like he's a trained military professional, cocks it back and aims it at Ziggler and says, "Prove that you're a cop. Show me your badge." And Rusev, I thought, was awesome in this, as always.
He needs to be in his own action movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that can drive a tank, and Lana. God,
imagine a period piece with Rusev.
Oh, boy.
That'd be great.
That'd be outstanding.
Yeah.
This whole WWE event, I mean, it was set – this was actually taped at an actual house show.
Vancouver, right?
This turned into a hell of a house show way because all of a sudden Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman were here. And did you notice we went from the generic WWE set – and then when Lesnar came out, suddenly it was the Royal Rumble set. So the Royal Rumble here was the site of the drop-off. But amazing. Then we went back to just the generic WWE live event setting.
Well, listen, you got to boost the star power.
There was no way we could fly Lesnar out for this house show filming for Countdown.
No.
You imagine if they got Brock into a movie?
I'd pay to see it. He's the guy they should. I mean, Brock would never do it.
It would be awful after like 5 minutes of charm.
Not if he had Paul Heyman. In the movie?
Maybe.
Paul Heyman should be in the movie, for sure.
So, the problem with this guy who has taken the bag, he's got a phone. And this bomb on the child can be detonated by placing a phone call on this burner phone. Yeah. So they've got to stop him from dialing this number.
Yes.
Did I get all this right?
Yeah.
So Thompson shoots him before he can dial, right as he's got the finger on the button, and the bomb is set to go off now in 6 hours and 42 minutes. And that's how long Detective Dolph and his band of idiots have to stop this bomb, or else Anatoly will explode.
Yes.
So that takes us to...
And that's pretty much the extent of the WWE...
That was it. There was no more WWE involvement. It was largely encompassed into 5 minutes,
yeah,
with a million cameos of guys on the roster.
Cameos.
Yeah, non-speaking they're just appearances.
They're shots from the crowd. There was cell phone footage of the New Day walking out.
So now we get Lieutenant Baker and Detective Thompson who have to come together.
We also saw a bunch of guys work out backstage. We saw like Daniel Bryan stretching backstage.
Yes, to date this even further back. They have a heart-to-heart, Baker and Thompson, as they go to raid a tattoo parlor. And Ziggler doesn't care about any of these tattoo artists and the warrants that are out for them, their drug use, hookers.
At this point, Ziggler is just kind of running off on his own without the knowledge of the rest of the police force. And he is making it his mission to try to stop this bomb himself. And he's accompanied by that badass female cop who Lieutenant Baker, who are all out to look for clues to find the location of this missing boy.
And then this heartwarming comment from Baker that really connects her and Ziggler together. She says, "I believe in the system like you used to. I read your file."
Yes.
Heartwarming.
Uh-huh.
She read his file.
What was his file?
Have a common enemy, but very different means about how they approach the law.
They're just like the Daredevil and the Punisher, aren't they?
Wow.
So what is Ziggler's file?
She never explained the file.
Okay. Well,
I guess she's aware of the death of Mikey.
Yeah, they do later.
So we go back and we get more Nikolai, because that's what this movie needed. More Nikolai.
Who's that?
Nikolai is the...
The villain from the first
the
scene?
The evil foreigner from the opening sting operation.
Oh, who's trying to sell the guns, yeah.
Yes. A guns dealer who's just hanging out in his backyard when Ziggler just shows up and starts choking him to death as his family's just laying around.
Yeah.
I've got to say, for a WWE product, this choking scene was 100 times more violent than Daniel Bryan's use of a tie on Justin Roberts.
This was an R-rated movie.
This was R-rated?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, you had guys getting shot in the head.
Wow.
Dolph Ziggler shoots a man in the head.
Well,
multiple times.
This was a hell of a choking. I mean, I thought he was... marks on his neck here. Poor Nikolai. The wife ends up coming to his aid with a gun, and as do most villains in these action movies, just awful aim as Ziggler runs off in the woods as the kids look on, and one kid's recording this on his phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, in these action movies, the heroes always seem to have an invisible force field around them, deflecting bullets.
Then we went on the longest search in history for this guy, Vladislav Pavel. They went to his apartment. I don't care. Can you help
me? Who cares? No. Like, if you care that much.
It turns out he had a brother. And the brother was the one who was killed at the WWE event. And now it's the brother that they're trying to find. They're both Pavels. The Pavel brothers. In fact, it was in Vancouver. I wish they had Pavel Bure.
So.
The Bure brothers would have been much more entertaining here.
Anyway. So basically, Dolph just goes on this chase, you know.
Can we just get to the Russian diplomat?
Yeah.
Because that was the best scene. Ziggler barges into this building, which apparently is a government building, and just attacks everybody.
It's the consulate.
He threatens to shoot a man in his dick for more information about where the key Russian diplomat is. He gets his way to the Russian diplomat's office, and what does he do? He takes a page out of the build-up for The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, takes a pen, and stabs this Russian diplomat in the leg. The guy says, I have diplomatic immunity. And Ziggler says, funny, you don't look immune, as he just twists the pen.
I like that
with
line.
The ink just coursing through his fluids.
What happened in Taker and Brock?
Remember the contract signing?
You stabbed him with a pen?
Stabbed him in the hand with a pen.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So Ziggler gets the information he needs about the maker of the bomb that has been strapped to Anatoly. Seems like he's going backwards here. He's just trying to find the bomb maker. I mean, Jesus Christ, that seems like an extra step you're adding. I mean, find out who's the one actually behind this, the bomb maker. I mean,
sure,
he might have some info for you. But
I'd also like to know what the traffic is like in this city, wherever they are, because in 6 hours to do all this, that's pretty impressive.
So they get to Pavel's apartment and they find a clipping of Thompson and an obituary for young Mikey.
So they discover that this guy who's the kidnapper has been obsessed with Dolph for quite some time.
Yes. They find the bomb maker. His name is Slava, who he says, I have no last name, like Usher and Beyonce. But what he does have are some of the bushiest eyebrows I've ever seen in a movie. These things had to have weighed a pound each.
Yes.
Big eyebrows. He also says, I made many bombs for many people. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminded me of that line from Get Rich or Die Trying. Man, I shoot people. That's what I do.
Mark Henry's line.
That's true.
Yeah.
So there was a mace involved here after Thompson and Baker on to their next destination when his old partner shows up and they want to take Thompson into the station. He will not comply and he's maced in the eyes.
Oh, man, you're only at that part.
We can skip as much as you want here. They get taken back to the headquarters. Then we have a fight with all of the officers. Kane shoots him. I think he got shot in the balls at some point during this. And then they escape and they flee the police. Oh,
is this entertaining for people? Like, how many people have stopped listening
this
already by this?
Oh, I don't
by
know.
This point.
We find out that Pavel's brother is named Igor. And when he came to America, he had $112.25 to his name when he got busted by Dolph Ziggler. So now he's out to get him. And that's why the ransom for Anatoly is $2,112.25.
Okay.
It's all that Ziggler took away from him when he had that little to his name. They go to this, I don't know, construction site of some sort to go search for Anatoly, which they never find him, and then they just leave. An SUV exploded.
They don't find him. Instead, I guess they're clued into where Anatoly actually is.
Yes.
And they discover that Anatoly is actually back at the police station.
Yes. And as Thompson and Baker are taken away in an SUV, we get the backstory of how Mikey died. Thompson reveals it was 3 years ago to that day. Amazing the timing in these movies. To the day that his son died. And he said he was late by 3 to 4 seconds. We couldn't even agree on like a set time. It was 3 to 4 seconds, give or take. And he swore from that day on, I would never be late again. And timing is everything.
How did the kid die?
He was hit by another cop who had drunk too much alcohol.
At a company barbecue.
And hit his son. And Ziggler was late in saving him from this oncoming drunk driver by 3 to 4 seconds. And the conclusion on his part was that I'll never be late for any appointments again in my life.
Wow.
That's a hell of a fucking consequence for such a basic lesson. I'll never be late again.
I will never be late to my dentist appointments.
This also was painfully foretelling that this bomb was going to be stopped with 3 to 4 seconds left.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to kill the kid.
They think they're so clever with like this foreshadowing when it's just such painful foreshadowing. After Ziggler's passionate speech about his awful timing with his son, he takes over the SUV and he runs a crosswalk, nearly killing a pedestrian, an innocent pedestrian who's walking his bike across. Ziggler nearly commits the same act that killed his son moments after this fucking story.
He's actually killed many people already in the movie.
He stabbed people with pens. He shot other cops in the chest. This guy's hardly a role model. Yeah. I'd say his timing is sucked in this movie. Killed that other guy at a WWE event. I guess in the name of good. So they take over. They finally find Anatoly, who has ended up in the confines of the police headquarters. Am I right?
You're right, yeah.
Why was he in the headquarters? Well, how didn't they find him before?
Because that's the place they would least expect. And they reveal that Pavel was basically masquerading as a janitor or something, and that's how he was able to hide the kid.
Oh, yeah. He came in with a garbage can with a lid, and that's how he transported Anatoly in.
I will say the chase leading up to the police headquarters between Nikolai and Dolph was quite exciting. They were shooting at each other in moving cars. And at one point, this idiot, Nikolai, runs out of bullets. And so he reaches for a grenade. I don't know if you ever tried to toss anything between two moving cars, John. But this guy tries to throw a grenade inside one car, through the driver's seat into the other car.
That's tough.
And of course he drops it. And I've never wondered.
He's got his wife's aim.
What?
When she was firing off the gun, couldn't hit Ziggler point blank.
I've never even thought about what it would be like to try to throw a grenade unsuccessfully inside a moving car. But I got to see it in this movie.
I would think no one would know how to could actually live to tell how they miss through a grenade and it bounced back.
Right, yes. But I've never seen it in a movie, but I got to see it in Countdown, and that was quite satisfying to see a man drop a grenade inside a moving car and then having the car explode.
Well, the final scene of this movie featured the whole police headquarters being evacuated except for Dolph, who's going to try and stop the bomb that is attached to Anatoly. He gets it off with seconds to go, sprints out of the office. And this whole movie was based around this one visual of an explosion from this building, which somehow Anatoly and Ziggler escaped scratch-free.
Yeah.
This bomb hurt nobody.
Yeah, he did it.
Wiping out the entire floor of this police headquarters.
Yeah, he did it with, perfect timing. Just in time.
So that's it. I'll note that Rusev and Lana both got more lines in this movie than Anatoly.
Yeah.
Anatoly didn't talk.
Anatoly's the kid.
Not even a thank you. I mean, he wasn't two.
I don't even know if he speaks.
He was adolescent.
He might not even speak English.
Well, he could convey something.
Oh, he did speak English, actually.
Afterwards, he hugs Baker. He shakes Kane's hand. And then he gets his receipt laid in on his partner, the Dick Kendricks was his name, and punches him in the face to tie this up from the opening scene.
Kendricks.
And then Ziggler walks off, and it freezes with music playing as Dolph Ziggler, the man who just can't conform to what the company wants, is our protagonist who prevails with his unorthodox methods of instilling justice and the law.
That's right.
That was Countdown.
Yeah. You know, it was a very cliched, a very generic action movie. But I feel like if you're going into a WWE movie expecting innovation in storytelling, you're watching the wrong type of movie. What I did expect, though, was a movie based around wrestling, and that's what I was looking forward to seeing, was a bomb going off in a wrestling event and a whole movie dedicated around that. But instead, it was just another movie like The Marine, like The Condemned, another one of these just kind of very painfully generic action movies that you'll forget very shortly. But I will say I thought Dolph performed very well. I think especially, you know, and I'm judging him as, you know, a professional wrestling actor. I think Dolph did very well to play sort of the more deranged, kind of like mentally unstable cop, though. I felt like he maybe looked a little too clean cut, but I will say I think he's a good actor for a wrestler, and I think he showed a lot of charisma and confidence as a leading man. In fact, it probably just highlighted how much they've dropped the ball with this guy, considering he has the look, considering he can work, and considering he has this level of acting ability. For him not to be at a higher level in the card is very strange to me.
Well, a lot of parallels between Dolph Ziggler and Ray Thompson, two guys that work their ass off, but they just can't elevate themselves within the system because they do too many crazy things in the line of duty, and it upsets management.
Ah, interesting. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, look at that. Well, that was Countdown, a movie that I was glad when it was over. We watched this based on a trailer. Shame on us.
Yeah, it took me a couple of viewings to watch this. And
we got more feedback for this than I anticipated.
Well, I think a lot of people were duped just like us, expecting, you know, more of a wrestling-related movie. And again, I think that's where this movie kind of really stumbles, is whatever. It's just another generic WWE film. But I feel like there's a real market. If the level of hype or level of interest for this particular movie has shown, I think there's a real interest for more wrestling-related content, like starring your wrestlers. I think there are wrestling fans who want to see pro wrestlers in movies, but they want to see them doing pro wrestling things. I don't want to use No Holds Barred as an example, but I feel like there's more interest in a No Holds Barred 2 than there would be for a Countdown 2, for instance.
Yeah, maybe count up.
Okay, you want to go to some?
Let's go. Way's meter is running. Let's start off with Danny Hernandez. 30 seconds into the movie and unsubtitled Russian yelling. I already felt bad for you two. With an obvious story that tries to be more interesting than it really is, I could not care less. Nobody is likable, and the filmography is trash. Is the camera they use camcording quality? -5 stars. Hope you two notice when during the WWE live event scene, the arena was visibly empty during the running, but they used movie magic to make it look and sound sold out. PPS, if doing this movie was the nail that made Dolph resign with the WWE a few years back, I'm certain Lucha Underground would have better material for them in their cinematic scenes with better filmography. PPPS, I think if WWE wants to have their superstars in these movies, it would be best if they're bit players like Otunga in The Call or Wade Barrett in Dead Man Down. I'm with Wei. Dolph Ziggler was hardly bad in this movie.
I thought he was actually good.
I mean, I'm not saying this guy is going to be some breakout star, but he was fine here.
No,
for
he's not The Rock. Okay,
no one needs to be either.
But to carry a generic action movie, I thought Dolph did a good job, a very good job,
with a pretty formulaic outline and a pretty bare bones character, to be honest.
The problem with the movie is that it takes itself too seriously. You even look at something like the Marvel films and how. A big key to the success of the Marvel movies is their comedy and the idea that you can't take this shit too seriously. This stuff is ridiculous. Fighting aliens, you know, setting off a bomb against Russian military or Russian mobsters. It's ridiculous. So I would have liked to have seen a lot more humor. I would have liked to have seen a lot more kind of self-referential jokes. And
you know what I would have wanted? First of all, the fact – I think you're right. I think this could have been a much better – if this had more of a comedy slant to it and it was Ziggler and Kane together, like you could still have this kid that they have to save. Get Mikey out of here. He does not need to be in this. We don't need a whole heartstrings piece. And the wife was so inconsequential to this whole story. Why did we have to have a wife that left him that was never – there was no follow-up to this woman at all, and her role was completely useless to
me. I think it was just another way for you to get sympathy on Ziggler. You know, this is a man who lost his kid and his wife.
I would have loved Ziggler and Kane having to fight crime.
They might have been good. I think Ziggler –
this would probably have a wider reach too if this was PG.
Yeah. We've had this discussion before, but who else on the roster do you think – outside Rusev, do you think has the potential to be, you know, do more as an actor?
Big E.
I think he'd be great. I think any of the New Day guys, actually. I think Xavier, I think, would be awesome. For sure.
I'm sure there's a lot of guys, but I think the script is obviously a big...
Yeah.
It very much depends on that.
Yeah. Okay. We go to Ronaldo from Milan. In all seriousness, I could not fathom sitting through this for more than the 15 agonizing minutes I did. I kind of felt sad for those poor kids who wanted to go watch the big blockbuster movie at the theater and instead got this in their got this. Okay. I don't know what forget. This is not an action flick. It's a long, boring, cliched music video with people pretending to be actors in it. The WWE portion is laughable at best. It is Monday Night Raw, but for whatever reason, it takes place in the afternoon. WWE has tried various genres. Drama, comedy, action, coming-to-life tales, cartoons. I say let's give it up and branch into softcore porn. I know something that went out there is probably waiting for... Okay, well, that's what Milan from Italy is looking for.
All right. Well, Ronaldo from Milan, Italy. Let's go to Seb Osborne from Wales. Hey, guys, I was really pleased to hear you guys were reviewing this because it was the excuse I needed to watch it after seeing countless advertisements at Raw in Dallas. I went in hoping it would be so bad it'd be good, but that was not the case. In parts, it felt like some low-budget daytime television movie coupled with music that went from sounding like WWE in the early 2000s to strange emotional music like something from the OC. My favorite part was Rusev's appearance, though I wish they'd decide whether to use shots of a house show or Raw for continuity. Thought Dolph was fine and Kane was okay. I guess I enjoyed it for what it was, which was a terrible film with bad music but some familiar faces and cameos. It was nothing on The Condemned. It has nothing on The Condemned.
Rob from Saskatoon. Wow. Not a good wow. I knew this movie was going to be bad, but I was hoping it would at least fall into the so bad it's good category. Nope. This was the worst acted WWE film to date, and that's saying something. Not for a single second could I suspend my disbelief and think that Dolph Ziggler was a cop. It seemed like they kept adding plot points randomly, trying to connect all the dots together and failing miserably. And at its most basic, it was every cliched rogue cop movie ever made. The only cliche they managed to miss was Dolph and the female cop kissing at the end. The lack of attention to the little things was beyond bad. The legit fans seeing him as Dolph Ziggler, the WWE character, and shooting video on their phone of Ziggler walking through the arena. The Brock Lesnar cameo obviously being shot in another arena. The one shot up the catwalk where you could see an empty building below them. The movie being set in Seattle, but the arena having signs for the Vancouver Giants in it. The building exploding at the end and the people underneath standing there watching the glass fall on them instead of running for their life. So bad. 2 out of 10.
We go to Ben from Manchester. Surely nobody expects a quality product from WWE Studios anymore, and I watched this for comedy value, and it sure as hell didn't disappoint. Whoever wrote this script needs a lifelong ban from the movie business, but gets full credit for making me laugh for an hour and 33 minutes. The fact they named Kane's character Stan was enough for me to tune in, as well as the wonderful cameos from Rusev, who deserves a BAFTA for his role.
British Actors... something award.
Okay. Yeah. The footage used for the WWE event consisted of shots from a WWE live event, Raw, and the Royal Rumble. Surely with this being a film only WWE fans will watch, they would at least think about the consistency of filming. Yes, that's where this movie fell apart. The background sets. Ziggler's acting was okay, while Demon Stan's performance bordered on cringeworthy, nothing compared, however, to Anatoly, who could not seem to grasp the severity of having a bomb attached to his body. Overall, an enjoyable movie for all the wrong reasons, but don't suspect we'll see a second outing for Rey and Stan anytime soon. Imagine this is ending up in the WWE shop sale section almost immediately. 4 out of 10.
Finally, from Elliot from London.
Big UK following for Countdown.
Yeah. Guys, I gave the film more attention than it deserves. Could only make it to the part just after the WWE event. Such silliness against the backdrop of a kid being threatened with explosion was not needed. The constant generic rock music was off-putting. Ziggler was off-putting. The main villain with the odd face was, yes, off-putting. 1 cop cane out of 10.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks, folks, for your feedback. Wei Ting has already got 1 foot out the door. He has got to run. He's got to get his parking situation taken care of. So Wei, we'll let you go. But next week on the show, we are going to be reviewing.
Are you asking me?
Do you remember what it is?
Yes, I do. You obviously don't.
Yes, I do.
Oh, I do? Let's say it together in three. Countdown in 3, 2, 1.
Judgment
WWE.
Day. No.
No.
Backlash.
Yeah. Yeah, you fucked it up. We're dead. Anatoly's dead.
Oh, man. What an awful person.
Backlash 2001.
Yes. Why? Why not? Well, given that Shane McMahon will be a part of this show,
yep.
We don't have a reason for anything.
What does Shane do here? What is this show known for?
This is known for many things. The fact is, the next WWE event is taking place at the Allstate Arena. That is where Backlash 2001 took place. Shane McMahon, in a big stunt-filled match with The Big Show, is on this 2001 offering. And it is the two-man power trip.
Triple H.
And Steve Austin taking on The Undertaker and Stan.
Yeah.
What a main event.
The Undertaker and Stan.
Coming off of... perhaps the best WrestleMania of all time. They followed up with Backlash 4 weeks later, and that's what we're going to review next week on this very program.
Stan's a much better name than Kane.
I think that's what we'll refer to him as now.
Much creepier name than Kane.
Stan. That's got to be Stan.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that's coming up as well. Our lip sync contest. 0 entries thus far. So by Monday, if I don't see one, I might just yank this contest.
How much day is left? How many days are left?
You've got a week and a half left. The deadline is April the 29th, Friday, April the 29th.
I wonder if people even know about it. So let's reiterate it on this podcast.
Well, all you have to do is make a video where you are lip-syncing to your favorite wrestling-inspired music.
Mm-hmm.
Post it. Doesn't matter what the length is. It could be 30 seconds. You don't have to do the whole song. Just post it up on any video version that you like and post it in the thread that is up on the message board, and we will announce the winner the following week and go through the entries.
I don't know if people have seen some of those lip sync battles, like the celebrity lip sync battles. You've seen those?
Yes.
Like the Joseph Gordon-Levitt
I like
one
them.
As Janet Jackson? Great. We're not expecting that. We're not expecting that level of quality.
But if you want to strive for the best, then by all means, this is your outlet.
Be creative. Be creative in your song selection. Be creative in your performance. And please, entertain.
We'll even allow you to sing Don't Box Me In.
That would qualify.
The opening music of Countdown.
That would definitely qualify.
Okay. So there you go. You can get all your details at lawradio.proboards.com. This could be a fun contest. Or it won't. We'll find out.
Yeah, it could be the worst contest we've ever done.
Yeah. So there.
If there's only one entry, though, that would technically be the winner.
You would have to win, of course. Not going to penalize a participant.
Nope.
So there you have it. LiveAudioWrestling.com is where you can go for all of our latest shows. which you can also subscribe to for free at Live Audio Wrestling. We'll be back later this week, and we'll leave you with this.
Damn it! I'm a cop!
Show me your badge!
Hang on!
Now that's a real man.